This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 116. And on this episode, we're talking about sponsorship with the one and only Gwen Lane. So if you're looking to get sponsored with your Instagram, your Facebook, or your blog, this one's for you. So stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Now, I'm really excited because this week is going to be a little bit different from what we usually talk about. We usually talk about traffic and launches and memberships and that kind of stuff, but what I really would love to have you learn more about today is sponsorships with the one and only Gwen Lane. Now, Gwen is the founder of the LA Girl, and she's been sponsored by major brands like United, Disney, Target, where she uses her influence and her reach as an influencer to actually get free products, paid brand endorsements, and more. And I've noticed over the past year that a lot of people have been asking, how can I use my influence to actually get sponsorships and actually get noticed by big companies and big brands? And so I thought it would be really cool to do an episode that's a little bit different when we talk about making money and talk about, can you make money as an influencer online? So I won't steal too much of your time with this intro. I just want to dive right in, let Gwen tell you a little bit about herself and talk all about getting sponsorships with your influence. Hey, Gwen, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Hey, Zach, thanks for having me.
Well, I am super pumped to have you on the show today because you are like the queen of sponsorship and you've done so much cool stuff with Instagram and marketing. And normally on the show, we talk about like launches and promotions, but there's this whole other side of the world that I don't think my audience gets to hear enough about, which is like you can partner with big brands and companies as you're building your lifestyle brand. And so I'm really excited to kind of dive into that with you today. But before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your business, and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Gwen Lane. Hey, everyone. I'm the founder of the LA Girl. It's my travel and lifestyle brand that I started in 2014 for millennial women in LA. And I just started as a blog. And then I started an Instagram that started growing. And I eventually started monetizing that Instagram and my blog through brand sponsorships. And so once I was able to replace my six-figure salary as a marketing director in the entertainment industry, I was able to, you know, start working with really big brands and doing things like traveling for free and going to cool restaurants and doing really cool partnerships. I also started my own community for digital influencers last year because people were asking me, how did you grow your audience? How did you start working with brands? How do you even reach out to them? How do you even get started? And so I was teaching at YouTube Space in LA, and I started realizing that I love teaching, you know, the strategies and the lessons I've learned through building the LA Girl. And so Spark Society was born, and now I do teach people how to get sponsored by brands. And so now I get to do really fun stuff with brands, and I also get to work with really cool influencers who have their own communities and teach them how to monetize their influence.
I love it. And I love that this is a totally different way to think about it because, you know, we hear the terms like influencer or lifestyle brand, but we don't often get to see like the underside of like, what does it actually mean to be an influencer that's working as an influencer? And so I'm really excited to dive into this today. Can you talk to us about some of the brands that you partnered with? And then maybe we can dive into when is someone ready to start looking into sponsorship?
Sure. So some of my recent brand sponsorships are some of the biggest I've ever done. Disney, which I know Zach is a big fan, they reached out to me and I pretty much was in shock. And I'm like, it's been 4 years and you finally, you know, reached out to me. And I'm so happy. It was like the pinnacle of my career as an influencer. I'm like, Disney, oh my gosh. So yeah, so it did take 4 years for them to reach out to me and do something. I'd always wanted to work with Disney, obviously, who doesn't? But I noticed before, like, they would always just work with mom influencers, right? And lots, because they have kids and they go to Disneyland. And I'm like, but I'm a big kid. So luckily, there was a campaign with Havaianas, a flip-flop company, and it was Mickey's 90th birthday campaign. And so they were looking for people who did like travel and lifestyle. And that's why they reached out to me. So I was super happy about that. So besides Disney, I also just worked with Facebook and American Airlines. I do a lot of travel. I've also worked with United Airlines. So I've done a bunch of trip experiences with them. Last year, I did a Visit Britain campaign. So I worked with tourism boards and they bring me over and we do a whole content campaign around, you know, visiting Britain and all the places that they want me to talk about. So yeah, besides that, Nike, Target, Starbucks, Nordstrom are some of the big ones. And I'm also a big hiker. So I've worked with L.L. Bean, North Face. And yeah, I pretty much just work with a lot of brands that I love already. And I feel like that's the key thing to being an influencer is working with brands that you love and trust so that you can provide value to your audience and kind of refer. It's kind of like a word of mouth marketing and talk about the things and the products that you already would recommend to anyone as if they were for your friend.
I love that. And now I really want to highlight something that you said, which is you've been working at it for 4 years. So it's easy to kind of look at that and be like, oh my gosh, how does somebody achieve that? But you've been working at that for years and it's something that you've built up over time. And I love that you share that part of the story because I think sometimes we tend to think like, well, I'm just going to be an influencer and I'm going to get brand sponsorships. But it really takes time and focus and intention to make that happen.
Definitely. So when I first started out, of course, no one was looking or liking or watching or commenting. That's totally normal. So if you are in that beginning stage and no one is listening or you think no one cares, everyone has been there. Trust me. I mean, we all start with zero followers, right? Zero subscribers, zero everything. I mean, it was for the first couple months, I felt like I had to ask my friends to like my photos just so I could see a little bit of love and I would like my own. I think I had a friend comment like, you like your own stuff. I'm like, yeah, if you're not your number one fan, like who's gonna be? And so it was pretty funny in the beginning. And it took about 6 months or so of every day being consistent, posting, creating high quality content, connecting with my audience for like people to start even inviting me to events in LA and then maybe giving me some free stuff. And so in the beginning, it's just when you start getting traction, you get free product offerings. I know, you know, some people get discount offerings or stuff like that. And in the beginning, you're not really going to see much money coming from it. And that's why I always tell people if you're in it to just make money, it's going to be a really disappointing ride because it's going to take a long time. And I'm not saying like it can't happen, but I'm just saying like if you are, you know, in the trajectory of, you know, let's say you have a job and doing this on the side, it took me 2.5 years, which is really fast in that scale to get to the point where I could support myself with the money I was getting from the brand sponsorships.
Love it. So let's start talking a little bit about when is somebody ready to start to pursue brand sponsorship? So maybe not obviously, but for our audience, you have a blog and you have an Instagram. Are those your primary places that you're building your influence?
Yeah. So I actually started on Twitter way back in the day because I just wanted to like do little quick rants and like quick things. And then I realized that I wasn't taking them anywhere. I had no long form content and I wasn't like getting email subscribers or wasn't building as much of an audience just except on Twitter. And so then I started the blog because I realized I wanted to have my own platform. And I definitely recommend having your own platform just because even on Instagram, like a lot, your content is pretty much short lived, right? Like nobody really looks at your post from 2-3 weeks ago unless they're stalking you. And then, you know, like your stories disappear unless you put it in highlights. So it's really good to have like a permanent place. And plus, when you work with brands later on, you'll realize that you can charge a higher rate when you have like higher or bigger content distribution. So definitely having a blog. I know some people have a YouTube channel, which is fine. I still recommend like embedding your video on a blog if you have a YouTube channel. And then whatever your social platforms are, whether that's Instagram or Facebook. Most brands right now, Instagram is the most trending place to be and kind of where they also look for influencers to work with to sponsor. So I do believe that right now that's probably the fastest way and the most effective way, even though there are Snapchat and YouTube influencers as well.
I love it. So I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but you said something that I think is really great, which is you have to spend time every day posting, engaging, and connecting with your audience. And so that's kind of how we start to build our following, is by like doing that consistent work. And we talked about and had people on the show talk about Instagram growth. So I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but can you talk to us a little bit about when is the right time to start pursuing sponsorships? Or do you wait for people to start approaching you? Is there a number on Instagram? Is there a certain way that we should be engaging or likes that we should be going for when we know it's time to start building or pursuing?
Sure, definitely. So I like benchmark rates too, but just because like I'm a numbers person and I kind of want to know, okay, like when is it possible, right? So like none of these are like, you know, set in stone. I know people have gone up and down. So for me, I would just say, you know, if you're under 1,000 followers, just focus on building that first 1,000. It's kind of like, you know, kind of just proving out that you do have a community and that you do have a following. So just getting to your first 1,000, just focusing on your audience and really knowing who they are, because a brand needs to know in like 2 seconds or less that your audience is the same audience that they're going after if they are wanting to work with an influencer. And then really knowing who you are in your content is really big, because brands want to work with influencers who have authenticity and have a personality and can genuinely connect with their audience. So this all you should be working on, like on the road to your first 1,000 followers, and the content as well, which is, you know, are you posting high quality content? Is it showing your lifestyle? Is it inspiring to people? Does it make people like it and the comments? So they do look at engagement. The smaller your following is, the higher usually your engagement is. And, you know, there's some people I know in the under 10,000 followers that have, you know, 5 to 10% engagement, which is really, really good. Now, some of the bigger followers, following people, they have like 1 to 3%, maybe 4% engagement, which is pretty normal at that rate. So as far as reaching out to brands, I like to, you know, say that I have at least 1,000 followers. In the 1,000 to 5,000 range, you're not going to see much paid deals. You might. I've had students before that were get offered, you know, $20 to $40 a post at that range. Otherwise, it's mostly collaborations, which is they send you free product, or, you know, you can get a restaurant tasting or something like that in that range. And for me personally, I didn't start getting reached out to for paid content or pitching for paid content around the 10K follower mark. And that's when I started seeing about $100 is the benchmark rate for anyone's post in the 10K follower section. And again, that doesn't involve like, you know, a blog post. Like if they want a blog feature as well, you can add that in. So it really depends on how you price your offers and if they just want Instagram, and it can depend on a lot of other factors.
Awesome. So really we should be shooting to get from this 0 to 10K mark in order to really start pursuing brand sponsorships.
Yes. And you will get brands reaching out to you. They might ask you to be an ambassador. And a lot of those ambassador programs are pretty much free, where they're not paying you, but they're sending you product or giving you a discount for the product. And then you can also be an affiliate for them, where you're making a percentage commission if you do sell any of their products. So it could start out at something like that before they pay you up front.
Okay. So once you get to a level, you know, let's say the 1,000 to 5,000 level, where you get the opportunity to start working with brands, even if it's just for free product in exchange for collaboration or reach, how do you actually start reaching out to brands? How do you know what brands you want to reach out to? Do you need to have a media kit? Like, where do we actually get started?
Yeah, that's a great question, Zach, because like some people are like, I have no idea, right? Do I just wait and sit pretty and until like Disney reaches out to me? I mean, you can, right? Because there are a bunch of brands that have campaigns that are already looking every single day. So, you know, I think of it as two ways, right? Attracting the brands and then pitching the brands. So for attraction, definitely, you know, using your hashtags and then tagging brands are a big one. So what I like to do is I always say, in terms of like, what brand should I even work with? I definitely think you should only work with brands that you already use or that you already love. Now, that doesn't mean like you can't try out new brands and love their products too. But right now, when you're just starting out, look at what you use. Like, look what purse you wear, what clothes you're wearing, what foods you're eating, what drinks you're drinking, what water bottle you're using. Those are the brands you actually want to work with because even you bought their product, right? So it means that you actually like them. And so it's so much more easier to promote something that you have a genuine connection with and actually like, right? So what I would do is I would start creating content around the brands that you already have and then tagging those brands on Instagram so that they can see that you are already engaging with them, even if you haven't reached out or there's any collaboration yet. I like to call that the pre-pitch or like kind of like the warming sequence or warm up, where you're like just engaging with a brand just because you like them. And so let's say you have an outfit of the day post and you tag, you know, whatever brand shirt you're wearing, whatever purse you're wearing or shades you're wearing. And then later on, you can either contact them and then you can send them your media kit, which I'll talk to you a little bit more in a sec, but you can reach out to them and be like, hey, I love your brand so much. I featured you guys in these posts and you could link to these Instagram posts and they'll see that you actually already like them and they're more likely to work with an influencer who has some brand affinity with them.
Okay. So that makes sense. So it's not just, I love that you said that, like it's not just sitting pretty until somebody approaches you. That happens in the long game. It's really about laying the foundation, using products that you believe in, featuring those products, and then potentially reaching out to these companies. And you started to talk about a media kit. So I used to have a food blog and we had a media kit. We would work with brands every once in a while. And so can you just talk to us about what exactly is a media kit and when's the right time to use it, send it, feature it, et cetera?
Sure. So a media kit, I describe it as thinking of it like a resume for an influencer. So it's pretty much a sheet, a page that says like who you are, a description of what you do and who your audience is. On my media kit, I have demographics on there because a lot of brands want to know if your followers are male or female, also where they're located and also what their interests are. So I have demographic information in there as well as my sponsorship opportunities. So I can put like, you can do a sponsored post on my blog, you can do a sponsored post on Instagram, I could do Instagram stories for you, as well as a snapshot of the brands you've worked with. So I have a little section on there that says brands I've worked with, and I have all the logos of the brands that I've worked with. So they can kind of have an overview and have an idea of who you are. And the thing is, Zach, I actually tell my students and teach my students in my program not to only have a media kit, because I don't think a media kit is enough anymore. I actually think that, you know, a lot of people have media kits now, and to stand out, I have my students create an influencer portfolio, and that includes the media kit, but it also includes a rate card. So it shows like what you charge on each post, and, you know, you can have this in the beginning if you want, or wait till you have a following later on. But I do see that, you know, it's more effective to send rate cards to brands just so they have an idea of how much you charge. And obviously they're going to know that you charge money for advertising, right? And so it's already communicating that I do charge for my services and this is how much. I also have them send a pitch deck with case studies. And this is something marketers love to get. And, you know, the marketing department is usually the brand side who is getting these emails if you're reaching out to them. And that's what I used to do in my corporate job, is actually receive these media kits. So I actually was on the other side of this. So trust me when I say, like, if you sent a portfolio to someone, they would be so happy and want to work with you because you went went above and beyond and you presented yourself professionally. And with a case study sex, you can show like previous work with brands. You can show screenshots and analytics. And we all know us marketers love analytics, right?
Love them. So basically, I just kind of want to recap what we've covered and make sure that I'm on the right path. So you have to intentionally build your Instagram by engaging with your community, putting out regular content, using relevant hashtags. Like I said, we've had some Instagram people on the show, so we won't go too far down the rabbit hole so we can focus on sponsorship and brands. And then you said that there's a couple of different benchmarks, 0 to 1,000, 1,000 to 5,000, and 10K. And 10K is when you really start to see the opportunity for paid sponsorships and collaborations. And really, if you want to start getting those collaborations, you should focus on the brands and the companies that you already work with on a regular basis or in your life and kind of believe in, and reach out to them with not just a media kit, which is like a one pager, but with a complete portfolio that talks about who you've worked with, has a pitch deck, has a rate card to really communicate that you charge for your services, and then start to build out that portfolio by working with brands and featuring products that you like.
Yes, Zach, that was such a good recap.
Perfect. The last thing that I really want to touch on is how frequently do you need to reach out to brands, or how frequently should you be reaching out to brands when you're getting started? Is it a numbers game? Is it a quality game? What should somebody do if they're like, okay, I do want to get sponsorships. Maybe they have 5 to 10,000 followers. They're relevant in their community or their space. And they're like, I would really love this restaurant to sponsor me.
Yeah. So great question. So it could be two ways, right? Because the brands usually already have marketing campaigns planned out for the year, right? It's kind of like us. We have our promotions calendar, right? And so they already know that, for example, the Disney campaign knew that they're going to do a Mickey's 90th birthday campaign and they're looking for influencer. So in that case, like you can either, they can reach out to you, or if it just happened to be good timing, right? You could be like, hey, are there any opportunities coming up? I would love to work with Disney. Or let's say I went through the Havaianas way, and because they were working with them on the flip-flops deals, and it'd be like, hey, I am doing a summer travel guide and summer fashion thing, and do you have any upcoming campaigns? The other way, which I like a lot more and is more intentional, Zach, is like creating your editorial calendar for your brand ahead of time, so you kind of know what's coming up. So for example, let's say we're in January and I know that February Valentine's Day is coming up. And so I look at my my content and my channels and I say, what do I like to feature on Valentine's Day? So I usually do a Valentine's Day gift guide. I used to do like a Valentine's Day, like weekend getaway ideas or trips that you can take as a couple, or maybe like a single girl or Galentine's Day feature. So what I would do is work through backwards and be like, what brands would be a great fit for my features coming up? So if I know like, okay, Valentine's Day gift guide, I want to, you know, feature a jewelry brand or flowers or something like that. And, you know, my brand is focused on LA. So what I would do is reach out to those brands and kind of promote the businesses and the brands that would fit well with my content. So in that case, what I would do is figure out what you want to promote and what are those events and like tent poles. Like, you know, if you are a food brand, maybe you want to talk about National Donut Day. And so maybe you should reach out to a big donut company or maybe a big food company with the ingredients that you want to feature. So then when you pitch to them, it's not just like, hey, do you want to work with me? It's you have a specific intention on why you want to work with them and say, hey, I have this amazing Valentine's Day gift guide that I put out every year. I think you guys would be a great fit in the jewelry section. Would love to work together. Here's my media kit and my rate card. If you're interested, let me know. I'm a big fan.
I love that. That makes so much sense. So, I mean, the underlying theme here is you don't get, you're not like Insta-famous isn't the answer. It's Instagram with intention and blogging with intention and building platforms with intention. It really makes a difference.
Yes, definitely. It's really, I always tell people this. It's like, if you're going in it for the fame and the followers and the likes, it's not going to go your way. I think it's all about, like, you know, I think it's about monetizing and being smart with your business. But at the end of the day, it's all about serving your audience, and working with these brands is just another way to help your audience, because you know these products are going to help your audience. You know that this, it'll be a valuable relationship between you and the brand, because the brand, you know, will one, amplify your content, but also like serve the need of your audience. And it's pretty much just as a casual conversation, just like you talking about a brand that you love and that you tried. And if you would recommend one instead of them trying 10 different brands, you save them time by recommending the one that you like the most.
I love it. Okay. I have one last question. I won't keep you any longer. So this is something I think I've heard you talk about before, but what about the people who are like, my life isn't that interesting, but I want to be an influencer, or I'm not at that level yet where I'm traveling or I'm at big events, right? How do you like curate content? Is there a process, or you've alluded to the fact that you plan out your content, which I love, but what about somebody who's like, I'm not out every day, you know, taking cute donut shots. I don't have a white background with succulents or a beautiful desk. What do you say to those people?
So, you know, I don't think anyone's boring. I mean, there's a reason why we watch reality TV, right? We just want to see things. And then we fall in love with the people's quirks and their weirdness, right? And so I feel like everyone has their quirks and weirdness. I know you do, Zach, right? I mean, we all do. And that's what people want to see. Like, the perfection is great and the cuteness is great, but like, that's not what people relate to. They actually like the imperfections. Now in the beginning, you have to kind of, you know, when you're just starting out and you're like, I don't have any photos that, you know, are post-worthy, or, you know, because I do believe that, you know, high quality photos as much as you can. You know, if you don't have backgrounds, I suggest going outside and using natural light and outdoor sets. Like I was, before, like, planning out every weekend going to wall shoots in LA, just because I'm like, why not? Like, the backgrounds are already there. And this was before it became such a big thing, right? Now, like, everybody does it, like, now as a normal thing. But now, like, every time I go to a coffee shop, like, I try to take a photo of my coffee. And if I'm already dressed up and have my makeup on, which, you know, as an entrepreneur, online entrepreneur, I'm not dressed every single day, nor do I have hair and makeup done. So I try, again, to be intentional about it. And if I know Tuesday, Thursdays, I get dressed or I'm going somewhere on the weekend, I do something fun. I just try to get as much content as I can while I'm out and while I'm already doing something. While I'm traveling, when I am traveling, I take photos there and I share it all the time. Like, I share old photos all the time and do a TBT, right? Or a Flashback Friday. It doesn't have to be current and today for you to share it. It all depends on what you're sharing it, what's the reason you're sharing it, and the story that you're trying to tell behind it. And so I don't believe that anyone is boring. Like, anyone who's saying that, I'm sure you have something to say, and I'm sure that your audience wants to hear it. And, you know, all of us have a story. All of us have a background in some sort of something. And I feel like your people who relate to you will be attracted to that, but you won't be able to do it unless you're putting that content out there. So I definitely think in the beginning, planning it out, doing shoots on the weekends whenever you can, plan those shoots, you know, like, go to places. I feel like a lot of this has helped me kind of get out more, because I do usually stay home a lot when I'm not traveling, and I go to different places in LA that I've never been, and it forces me to go out and look for cool places to shoot and places to hang out. And if you don't have a personal photographer, you can always ask a friend or someone to go with you, your partner, and you guys can go do shoots together, another influencer or another blogger, you know? So get creative. And I feel like it's a great time to, like, you know, do some ideas, like, find a beach, find a park. There's so many possibilities. I feel like you just have to make sure that in your mind, why are you doing this? And if it's to help other people, it is going to take some work to do that.
I love it. I love it. So again, it really comes down to, I feel like we've got this theme going, which is your intention and having the intention to do it. Awesome. Well, Gwen, I have to tell you, I did lie when I said that was the last question, because I want to know, where can people find out more about you, what you're working on, the Spark Society, all of it?
Sure. So if you want to look at my adventures on Instagram, it's the LA Girl, and that's travel in LA. You can also look at my blog at thelagirl.com. And if you're interested in becoming an influencer or monetizing your influence, you could go to thesparksociety.org or join my Facebook group, Spark Society for Digital Influencers.
Awesome. And we will link all of that up in the show notes as well, so you can check them out at heartsoulhustle.com/116. That's heartsoulhustle.com/116. We will link all of Gwen's info up because it's really great. You should definitely check it out. I know we have been checking out Gwen's stuff because my boyfriend and I both would love to get some sponsorships on Instagram as well. We have that vibe that we want to be slightly Insta-famous. So, Gwen, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure having you. Any parting words you'd like to leave us with?
No, thank you, Zach, for having me. And for you guys, all, I feel like, you know, everyone is already an influencer, even if you don't call yourself that. You know, you influence your partner, your kid, your parents, your family. So might as well, you know, use that influence for good.
I love it. Well, Gwen, thanks again for being here, and we will see you guys next time on the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.